Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear ones, we have made our way through the first two articles of the Apostles' Creed. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for continuing to explore Sunday after Sunday, even though I know it's not always been easy. Although I planned this sermon series out with great care and thought and prayer, as we are nearing its end, I can truly say that God has done more through this sermon series than I asked for and could have imagined. You know, early on, I reminded you that one of the reasons that I was doing this sermon series this summer is because I've had a lot of folks over the last couple of years ask if I could lead a confirmation class for adults because they had either not taken confirmation or it had been a while and they hadn't remembered everything. And so I thought a good place to start would be starting with the Apostles' Creed, back to the very, very basics. But it's been anything but basic, hasn't it? It's been incredibly interesting, and I have learned so much. I have had to dive deep into Scripture, into the Greek, into the Hebrew, into Christian history, and into theology to put into words what it is that we believe, and to help all of us explore it. And my goodness, we've explored a lot these past 3 months. And like I said, I know some of it's been hard because we've realized that some of what we've come to believe has been based more in reading of literature and what we see on TVs and movies. And it's been hard to begin to unlearn some of that. And it's also been hard to grow and open ourselves to new knowledge and new understandings. But I gotta tell you, I am so grateful to serve a congregation that doesn't shy away from the hard work of growing and being open to new ways of thinking. And I want you to hear that I am really, really proud of you for all of the exploring and hard work that you've done. And so today we arrive at the third and final article of the Creed. We say for the third time, I believe in. If you remember back to the early stages of this sermon series, the words I believe come from the Latin credo, which means I believe in, I put my trust in, I give my heart to. And so today we learn a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, whom we believe in, whom we put our trust in, whom we give our hearts to. As another reminder, the Creed was intended to teach us about the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Not third as in third place, because all three persons of the Trinity are equal, and they have all existed from eternity to eternity. So let's explore these next couple of weeks the third distinct way that God is God. First of all, let's start with some grammar. The Hebrew word that we translate Spirit of God from is Ruach, R-U-A-C-H, Ruach. Ruach is a feminine noun, and as such, uses feminine pronouns, feminine articles, etc. The Greek word that we translate Spirit of God from is pneuma. Pneuma is a neuter noun. The Greek has three kinds of nouns, masculine, feminine, and neuter. Pneuma is a neuter, which means it doesn't have a gender. So it uses pronouns it, or they, them. Most often in English, the neuter or the feminine of ruach and the neuter of pneuma has been translated into he, But most scholars and theologians use she or her, or it, they, or them, for a more accurate translation. Ruach and Pneuma mean wind, breath, or spirit. And in just a minute, we're going to look at how the breath of God has been present and at work in creation and in humanity since the very, very beginning. But before we jump there, there is one more word that I want to lift up that Jesus uses to talk about the Holy Spirit, and that is paraclete. Paraclete means a counselor, a helper, comforter, advocate. One word that means all of these things. I did some digging this week and found out that one of the ways that we can translate advocate is someone who is called to be by somebody, or someone who is called to stand alongside of somebody. I like that way of thinking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called to stand by us and called to stand with us. And then one of my faithful ways to think about the Holy Spirit in all of these translations is that the Holy Spirit is our faithful companion. So we often think about the Holy Spirit in the context of the New Testament, but the Spirit of God is present throughout both Testaments. The Spirit of God was at work in creation. In Genesis 1, it was the Spirit of God, the breath of God, that wind of God that hovered all over the waters before God put order to all of that chaos. When God spoke creation into being, when we speak, breath comes out. That breath of God was part of God speaking creation into being. In one of the creation stories, we read that God breathed into the human and made the human come alive. We also read something very similar in Ezekiel, in the Valley of the Dry Bones. God put together these dry bones and put muscles and sinews on them. But until God breathed into them, there was no life. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is always, always life. Throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit made God's will known to the prophets. And through those prophets, the Spirit of God made God's will known to the people. It's the Holy Spirit who helps humanity to do the will of God. It is also the Holy Spirit who places God's law upon our hearts. When the Spirit of God came upon Mary, the Spirit of God conceived Jesus in her womb. That same Spirit descended into Jesus in his baptism and remained with him throughout his entire ministry. When he breathed his last, the actual Greek says, he returned the Spirit. He breathed out the life that God had given him because it all had been finished. But before his death and resurrection, Jesus promised his disciples that they would receive the Holy Spirit after he went away. Truly, the Spirit of God was given to abide with God's people forever. Jesus promised those disciples that they would receive the Spirit so that they could be witnesses to all the ends of the earth. It is that same Spirit that was at work in the formation of the early church, establishing the faith in believers and sustaining them in that faith, which caused the church to grow in many ways and in many places. And it is that same Holy Spirit that continues God's work of redemption in the world today. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus to us and creates faith within us. The Holy Spirit helps us carry on Jesus' work and helps us live as witnesses to him in the world. When we don't know how to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit is our helper and helps us to love and care for one another. The Holy Spirit has given each member of Christ's body gifts to build up the church. The greatest of these being love, which has been poured out upon all and endures forever. And when we submit to the Spirit's leading and guiding, the Spirit will produce in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Brothers and sisters, the same Spirit that hovered over creation in the beginning is the same Spirit that helped create everything that exists. And it is the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. This Spirit has been given to all of us. We were sealed with the Spirit in our baptism. And this Holy Spirit inspires us and empowers us to use our gifts to serve others and to be God's hands and feet in the world. When Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to pour out his Spirit upon them, one of the words that is used for church is ecclesia, and it means called out. We are given the Holy Spirit so that we can be called out into the world to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. We are called out so that we can help God reveal Christ's love and grace to the world. We are a called out people. Today, churches in the ELCA are celebrating God's work, our hands. It's the 10th anniversary since this began. And I've been thinking a lot about how our church here at Holly Grove, how we do God's work with our hands. There are so many ways that we love and care for others. And I want to lift those up today because this is remarkable. We have our blessing box to help feed the hungry. We had a school supplies drive just a couple of weeks ago where we collected a significant amount of school supplies to support our young friends at Davis Townsend Elementary School. Also at Davis Townsend, each week we help provide for the children who need it most. Last year it was 55 children. We're not quite sure how many children it will be yet this year, but we send home backpacks filled with food so that they have food to eat on the weekends. And then at Christmas, we have an angel tree where we offer Christmas gifts to about 25 children every year who might not otherwise receive something for Christmas. We offer the remarkable gift of prayer shawls. We have given nearly 2,000 prayer shawls away, maybe more. Those are just the ones that we've documented. But we bless those prayer shawls and send them out into the world to loved ones near and far as we hold them in prayer as they go through a variety of things. The Agape Circle for many years has supported the Teen Parent Program, where they come alongside of teen moms and gift them with a huge basket full of gifts. Many of these girls have said over the years, this is the only baby shower that they've gotten, and that they otherwise wouldn't have these gifts to care for their children. We also support several outreach ministries with some of our basket offerings, including the Life Center, Hospice, Crisis Ministry, Davidson Medical Ministries, and GLAMA. Dear friends, when I was interviewing here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, Jane said to me over and over, "We are a small, but we are a mighty church." Did you just listen to all those things I listed? That is a remarkable outreach ministry for a church our size. And yet, in all of these ways, we are offering our gifts, our time, our finances to do God's work in the world with our hands. What a remarkable, remarkable gift. And so on this God's hands, God's work, our hands Sunday, I have asked that each person receive one of these little cards. And I want you to write on this card some of the other ways that you do God's work with your hands in the world. Maybe you volunteer with the Special Olympics. Maybe you do some work at a local school and support a local school. Whatever it is that you do out in the world to do God's work with your hands, please write it on this. And then when the offering plate comes around, place this in the offering plate. This is your offering to God. And we're asking God to bless it and to use our work so that our lives might be a witness to the love and grace that is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Let's take a couple minutes for you to think about some of the ways that you do God's work in the world with your hands, and then we'll place these in the offering plate. Frank, we need some cards up in the choir loft, if you don't mind. Anybody else need a card? Amen.